I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I remember many, many years ago, 36, more than that, 37 it probably was, years ago, interviewing three people who were wonderful in theater, and they were dreamers, and they were traveling around the country looking for the perfect spot to place a classical theater that would mostly focus on Shakespeare. And they decided to build the theater in Spring Green, Wisconsin, and it's been going every single year for the past 36 years, which I think is just wonderful. American Players Theater, you've been there, I'm sure, many of you. If you haven't, scurry on over sometime before the season closes. You've got a lot of time to do this. But they are doing all kinds of plays. The 2015 season is underway and has been since June. They opened 5 shows in June, another 3 in August, 8 productions that are running in repertory into the fall, and a 9th play is going to open at the end of October and run through November. It's a beautiful setting. They're going to be doing, I won't give you all the plays, we're talking about Othello this hour, which just opened August 7th, Private Lives. They're also doing The Merry Wives of Windsor, A Streetcar Named Desire, Pride and Prejudice, and Iliad, The Island, and others. And we are delighted to have two of the star performers in Othello with us. So we'll talk about Othello and Shakespeare and American Players Theater and the other shows and acting and all of that this hour of our program. And welcoming your phone calls, I am hopeful that some of you listening have had a chance to see the production of Othello. I've got a whole lot going on in my life, and I don't know if I'll make it. Well, yeah, maybe I can make it to the APT sometime before October, but I haven't had a chance to see Othello yet, and I usually like to see the show before I talk about it, but I have seen Othello before, and I've seen these performers before, so that's good, and I'm hopeful that you have seen Othello, some of you. So here's our phone number to talk about American Players Theater and Shakespeare and Othello. Our number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. Our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show. And we're on Twitter as well, and that's @KDunnShow. Playing Othello in American Players Theater is Chike Johnson. And he is mostly, well, he's done work all over the place, but people in Milwaukee will know him well. He appeared in the Milwaukee Reps production of A Christmas Carol and First Stage Children's Theater World Premiere, the Baker Street Irregulars. He has been in Broadway productions, off-Broadway productions. He's been on television in Law and Order, Girls, Veep, and Prison Break. And he has been in lots of theater companies, has played in A Raisin in the Sun at the Milwaukee Rep. He's been at the Yale Repertory Theater and has played Shakespeare before, Duke of Cornwall in King Lear at the Milwaukee Repertory Theater. Chike, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
So you thought long and hard about doing this role, I understand. You aced the audition, and then you said, ooh, do I really want to be Othello, and do I really want to live in Spring Green?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I had to think about it for a long time. You know, I'm married with 3 kids, and trying to figure that out, you know, with my wife, because basically what happens is I drop everything in her lap and come out here, and so it was just a long process in trying to, you know, figure out what her schedule was going to be, because she's an actress as
yes.
well, and see what and you know, get the family support around us so that everything would work out smoothly.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm sorry.
So that was one of the main challenges in thinking about coming out to APT.
But you've made the right decision.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I absolutely love it out here. Everyone's so great and supportive and talented and lovely. It's something that you don't always find when you go out to, when you go around to different theater companies. You don't always find all of that wrapped up in one package.
You don't consider yourself, although you have done Shakespeare, you don't consider yourself a Shakespearean actor. Did that make a difference to you that the theater company does much more than Shakespeare, but there are a lot of Shakespearean trained actors there?
Absolutely. Yes, I do consider myself a contemporary actor. Another thing to think about in coming out to APT, where the standards are so high, when the standards are set so high for Shakespearean actors, coming out here and not having as much experience doing Shakespeare plays, definitely, I took that definitely into account, and because I didn't want to come out here and kind of fall flat on my face, because I had a pretty big part, and falling flat on your face with such a big part.
I guess you did.
It's a tough thing. So I knew coming out here it would be a lot of work, and I would have to buckle down and focus. And so when I made that decision, it was like, okay, so this is what it is, and I'm ready to take on that challenge.
Yeah. James Ridge is also joining us. James has been on the show before. This season marks his 18th summer at APT, and he played, last thing I saw him in was a terrific performance in Richard III, in which he played Richard III. He's done a lot of Shakespeare. He's also played Charles Dickens. He's now directs A Christmas Carol for the Children's Theater in Madison. He played Scrooge for 4 years. He's been with the Milwaukee Chamber Theater, the Renaissance Theater Works, Nextac Theater, Milwaukee Rep, and his wife is in the company as well, and I believe is in Othello as well, and he plays Iago in Othello. James, thank you very much for being with us again. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen. It's nice to be with you.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. Do you, James, consider yourself a Shakespearean actor, or both Shakespearean and contemporary and everything in between?
Yeah, I mean, yes, I'm an actor. Whether Chike considers himself a Shakespearean actor or not, he's doing it, so I consider him to be a Shakespearean actor. I think it always comes down to the tools that the actor brings to the process, and also then the tools that the company brings to help the actor in the process. And we deal with complex poetic language plays out here, and so vocal coaches are a big deal, text coaches, and I can tell you that Chike met with the text coach outside of rehearsal hours, boning up and getting his nose in the language, and it shows up on stage. We have some of the best text coaches in the country working with us out here, so we have a lot of tools at hand to help us.
And does it require, Chike used the word focus, let me put this to you first, James, and then to you, Chike. Does Shakespeare require more of a focus, more of an intensity in terms of studying the text and in terms of being able to speak the text so that we can all understand it in 2015 than another piece of theater might?
Yes, short answer. I think any actor who's working on any play, they want to be present. They want to be present to their partner on stage, to what's being said. So that requires an incredible amount of focus and vulnerability to really see the person opposite you on stage. But then when you're dealing with these long, complex passages filled with imagery and poetry, and the part of what makes Shakespeare thrilling and difficult to do is the rhetoric that he's dealing with. They're complex thoughts. We think in shorter, more concise thought sound bites these days, and so in order to do that kind of language, you have to work really hard to excavate how long is that thought. Oh my goodness, that's going on 4 pages.
Right.
Really, he brings an image back that started 4 pages ago, so you realize that whole thought and argument goes on for 4 pages in a whole scene. So the characters have to think fast. They have to think in a complex way that we don't necessarily do these days, and try to be present And what does your character want? You know, he's jealous, so he wants this thing from this person right in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of balls to keep in the air at the same time.
Right, I'm sure. Chike, is there something about the language? I mean, Shakespeare has said so many things and books have been published, you know, the quotable Shakespeare. Are there times when you are speaking the language that you think, oh, nobody says it quite this beautifully, and then you kind of want to use some of those quotes and when you're talking to people in an everyday fashion? Have you picked up some of the words that you say on stage?
Not yet, because there's a big gap in between, you know, when I've done a Shakespeare play and when I'm on to the next Shakespeare play that I don't, but, you know, I'm sure if I had more plays underneath my belt and was doing it more consistently, absolutely. I mean, it is a, for the first part of your question, there are many times where people just don't talk like this.
Right.
And I want to express myself, you know, and I bring my speech patterns to the rehearsal hall or when I'm working with a speech coach, and she'll say, well, the rhythm of the sentence goes this way, and I go, well, I just don't talk like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to change that chip in your head in order for the thought to make sense, because what I learned from Gigi is, like, you can say a line of text in a certain way, but if you don't say the line, I hate to use this word, but I'm going to use it. If you don't say the line correctly, then the thought is actually lost on the people who are listening to the show.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
right.
learning how to Jim was talking about a thought going on for four pages, but learning how to also say it so that you understand it, and that you can deliver it so that other people can understand it is always challenging. And, you know, I go, you know, my thoughts, I don't think like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the poetry of the text. I love the way things are said. But we just don't talk like that. So
right.
Eventually I'll probably use something just to be, you know, a smart aleck. Maybe one day I'll say something.
I think you should. Right.
I'm sure if I used it more often, or if I was in more plays, I should say, I would definitely use it.
Yeah, this could be the start of a whole new thing for you.
I love
the description, John Langs, the director of the play, and I want to get your response to this. James, let's start with you. Wrote that he's been spending, obviously, a lot of months with this story, and he writes, now more than ever, Shakespeare's Othello seems particularly of the moment. At its heart, the play is about the incompatibility between violence and love, and also how these two human impulses so often seem so deeply intertwined. Is this play for you, and if so, in what way, particularly of the moment? James?
Well, I think, yes, it is. Of the moment, I mean, we're doing it right now, and I don't know that you can. I don't know that you can work on a play with a particular audience in mind and not have it be of the moment. You know, we're compelled to think within the time frame that we live in. We have, you know, the major news events going on that are shaping how we feel about the world and what's bubbling up in the social consciousness. And right now, our country, you know, we've been in these military battles for any number of years, and we're dealing much like in the 60s when the veterans from Vietnam were coming back. We have a whole new generation of people coming back after serving overseas, many of them seeing combat battle, and that was sort of a jumping off point for John to think about these men who begin the play have been at war, and what does that do to the psyche?
Right.
A person gets trained and delivered into a set of circumstances where they're expected to kill or be killed in defense of their country, honor, pride. And then what happens at the end of that, when there's a transition that needs to happen back into normal society? And one of the things that I found researching it, I say up front, I never served in the armed forces. But one of the things my research has turned up is this idea of an adrenaline rush that comes from combat,
mm-hmm.
and that can become I don't want to say addictive, but it gets in. There's a rush. There's a thing that happens that starts to feed a certain part of the brain, and jumping out of planes, racing motorcycles, those kinds of things don't ever really measure up.
Mm. So how does that feed Iago's psyche?
Well, he's been passed over for advancement for someone who's maybe more fitting to be a leader in peacetime. And so he doesn't really have a place. He doesn't have a place in society, doesn't have a place within the military. And so he turns to the thing that he knows best, and he starts creating chaos and manipulating that to his own ends.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what it comes down to. And interestingly, I think that's really, really close to what Shakespeare maybe had in mind. He was using other words, but there are these words all through the text about hell and darkness and devils. So I think Shakespeare was really dwelling in and considering what are those darker aspects of us? Why do we give in to those impulses? And why do we ask people to completely give over to those and use them for our own good? And then what do we do once we've opened that door
mm-hmm.
with these people? Say, just close the door. Forget about that.
Yeah. And, Chike, you were in the Marines for 4 years, I understand.
I was.
And I was interested in your remarks about how you love these people you served with, that you would die for each other, which, you know, every time I interview somebody who's been with the military, prisoner of war or had to fight or kill people, that sense, I always feel that that's a sense that if we haven't done that, it's hard to understand that. When I read what you said, I thought you would die for these people. How do you bring that to Othello? Do you bring that in some way to Othello?
Well, you know, first off, I was lucky is if the word is lucky enough not to ever have to go to combat.
Mm-hmm.
So that's first off. But you create a camaraderie with your fellow Marines that they're more like brothers to you, and they become family.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you do what you need to do for family. And I don't want to speak for all Marines, but, I know that when you go into a combat situation, you're going in there with family and so, of course, you would lay down your life for family. It's you against the other. Did I bring this to Othello? I guess maybe unconsciously I did bring, you know, the military, whatever military bone I still have in my body. Like, I sometimes I think it was like a dream, to be honest with you, that I was even in the military. I mean, only I remember because I still have, you know, friends of mine who I'm still in contact with. And I see pictures, and I go, "Yeah, that was a part of my life." But family is, you know, something that never leaves. You know, Iago is family. So no matter what he does, he's shown himself to be somebody that is loyal, and he, I have him around me because he's more than just another soldier. I see him more as being somebody who's family because it seems like he always has my best interest at heart.
Hmm.
There's business, you know, and the business of the day was making Cassio, or the play was making Cassio my lieutenant and not Iago. But if you look through the play, it's Iago one who I'm always with.
Mm-hmm.
I think business is one thing and family is another. So to answer your question, yeah, I take the Marine Corps with me in mostly everything that I do. It's there.
Mm-hmm.
It's there. It's a part of me, you know. But in terms of something, in terms of it being conscious, I didn't really consciously say, I'm going to make him this.
Right.
Or I'm bringing this from my 4 years.
Yeah. You didn't like Othello very much. Did I read that you didn't want to play the character because you didn't like him very much?
I didn't. You know, being a black man in America is not always easy. And so when I first read Othello, I thought, man, this is the dumbest guy in the play. And I was like, why doesn't he ask? Oh. Why doesn't he go and ask Desdemona? And I didn't think he was interesting, to be honest with you. I always thought Iago was way more interesting than is way more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Even to this day, I mean, I love doing the play and I love working on it and I've learned a lot, but even to this day, I still think Iago is the most interesting character in the play. I don't dislike Othello as much as I did before.
Good.
I understand him more in terms of, you know, human emotion is human emotion. Jealousy is something that plays on, I think, all of us, and our imaginations, especially mine, can go places that don't have, you know, it was like, why did I go there?
Right.
Why did I take it to that point when there was really no need for me to go that far? And so I understand. Not being able to really, or not being interested in delving into the play Othello, I just kind of read it and was like, yeah, I'm not interested in this playing this guy. And, you know, I had a lot of people say, oh, Chico, you're going to play Othello. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm not interested in playing him. And stop telling me I'm going to play him. I may play Iago, but I'm not playing Othello. And then, you know, here I am.
There you are.
I run into John Langs, and what got this whole ball rolling, honestly, was ABT calls. And when APT calls, you answer the call.
Sure, you do.
Oh, you don't go, APT.
Right, right. So it's APT.
Exactly. Yeah. So that was number one. APT call, and I was like, yes, I'm going to go out there and audition. And then meeting John Langs and telling him how I felt about it and him being so interested was number two. So I actually did, the reason I'm here, or the reason I'm doing Othello, is because of APT and, you know, everything that is associated with APT.
Mm-hmm.
From the actors on down are actors on up, and then John Langs.
Yeah, I get that. Is Iago the most interesting person in the play, James?
He is. I don't know. I mean, what are the facts? The facts are that it's one of the biggest roles Shakespeare wrote. I think it's just behind Hamlet in terms of the size of the role.
Mm-hmm.
It's a compelling role in that Iago tells the audience what his motivation is for destroying all these lives, and yet at the end of the play you're really left wondering, did I get all the information? That's really human, I think. You know, I don't know that we ever really, really know what's going on inside the mind of someone else, no matter how much we know them. But, you know, the other side of that coin is the play is called, it's a tragedy. It's the tragedy of Othello.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what makes a tragedy? And I think Chike put his finger on it really, really well, and Langs has done a good job in creating the play. Our production starts with, you actually see the wedding ceremony of Othello and Desdemona. And what John's trying to do is put in the play the beauty and the love of Othello and Desdemona, so that at some point, hopefully it's inevitable that an audience member would say, why didn't Othello just ask her?
Right.
Why doesn't he get the information? Why does he only listen to Iago? And I, however you answer that question, I think leads you to why it's the tragedy of Othello. There's some flaw in his character that, again, that we can all relate to as human beings, whether it's pride that keeps him from asking his wife, or whether it's a deep-seated insecurity. But there's some flaw that keeps him from asking, and how many of us can relate to, you know, being right on the brink and not being able to open our mouths and ask the question, or to say I'm sorry, or, you know, right on the brink, and a relationship suffers. It becomes fractured irreparably because we didn't have the bravery, we didn't have the whatever it is to say it, to ask it.
We're going to welcome phone calls for both actors. We're lucky to have Othello and Iago with us, and they are actors who many of you have seen in other roles. James Ridge plays Iago in the American Players Theater production of The Tragedy of Othello, which just opened recently. Chike Johnson plays Othello. They are both very, very well-known and extremely accomplished actors in Wisconsin, living in Wisconsin, Chike in Milwaukee and James in Spring Green, but they have appeared in regional theater and beyond for quite some time. So here's the number. Join our conversation. Please, a special call to somebody who's seen Othello. I'm sorry I haven't had a chance to, but somebody out there listening has, and I would love to hear what you think of the production. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show. After 36 years, many of you have seen productions at American Players Theater, and it's one of those places that is near and dear to us, so you can share your memories of your moments there as well. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. All right, let's go to phone calls. And our guests this hour are the actors in Othello, James Ridge and Chike Johnson, and our first caller is Ray in Rhinelander. Hello, Ray.
Hi, this was very dear to my heart, and let me tell you why. I had just finished up doing my master's in psychology in Marquette. I moved to the Spring Green area. I was doing an internship at UW-Madison for criminal psych, and I met my wife there at one of the plays, and it was A Midsummer Night's Dream. Well, she was doing an internship in Madison Library Science, and we were both volunteering there and at the Taliesin and the Frank Lloyd Wright Center. She was helping there with literary aspect of different plays. I was helping with stage props and maintenance and ushering. But the amazing thing about it was is those early 80s and being there and the romance of the plays and falling in love with my wife and living at Hilltop at Taliesin and volunteering at American Players Theater. I'm telling you, it is a momentous, wonderful moment in my life, and my heart is just throbbing now with it. And just, you know, Kim Randall Duke, all those earlier people, and being involved, it was fantastic. I've been all over, and I've been all over the world, but I'll tell you, that experience in Spring Green at that time was the most amazing experience.
Oh, I hear you saying it. I hear you. Oh, thanks so much for the call, Ray. Chike, have you experienced any of that, the guy who was reluctant to go there?
Spring Green is wonderful. My wife loves it. My kids love it.
Oh.
It's right you know, at my speed in terms of I like quiet. I like for my kids to be able to go out and I don't have to watch them too closely.
Mm-hmm.
I actually do love Spring Green a lot. Mm-hmm. My wife came out here and she was like, "This is fantastic." But we just bought a house in Milwaukee about 4 months ago. And she's like, what do you think? Should we buy a house? I'm like, babe, we just bought a house. There's no way we can buy another. We just bought a house. I mean, I bought the house. I spent maybe a couple of weeks in the house, and then I had to leave.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you just need a little. We talked about little small houses yesterday. You just build yourself a little small house, Chico, and live in Spring Green. And, James, you live there all year now, don't you, when you're not acting somewhere else?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my family and I have a home here in Spring Green. I love it. Love it, love it.
Yeah, so why do you love it?
Oh, you know, I grew up in the Midwest and the West. My junior high and high school years were in Montana.
Oh.
And the hills of this country remind me of my boyhood.
Mm.
I love that my boys can get on their bikes and ride to their friends, and it feels to me like my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just a lot more comfortable in the rural setting than I am in a great big city.
Mm-hmm.
I breathe easier, and
right.
we're able to work and support a family here, and you know, be involved in the schools, and it's a good life.
Yeah, and there is something, I don't want to overstate this, but you can easily say the truth about this theater, and it sounds like you're overstating it, but it is the truth, that the whole setting is just absolutely beautiful. I mean, the stars and the little breeze and the being outside, and it's just glorious.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's a lot of theater in Milwaukee. There's a lot of theater in a lot of big cities, and there's a lot of really good theater. But you're right. This is a destination.
Right.
I get the feeling, it's not empirically based, but I get the feeling that not many people are here because they have to be. You have to drive out here. You have to walk up the hill. You have to wonder whether you're going to sit in mosquitoes or rain.
Right.
And there's something about the cumulative effect of seeing a play, which is, you know, I mean, plays are one of the things that have been around almost as long as human beings. You know, it's essentially human to tell stories in a communal setting, and to do that outside under the stars,
mm-hmm.
With plays that have been around hundreds of years. There's something about that that makes it different and special, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Weigh in on that, Chike, as well, to be on stage playing Othello with the stars over, well, we hope there are stars more than rain, over your head.
It's amazing. I've never done outdoor theater before, so it is, it's an experience that you just can't buy. Being out there, you know, I have to admit I don't look as much at the sky as much as I leave the theater.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was walking home with my daughter from the park one night, and we were just picking out, you know, we were just looking at the stars and picking out the Big Dipper and Little Dipper and North Star, and it was just amazed me that you can see all the stars. You know, in Milwaukee you have street lights,
right,
and whatever else is up in the atmosphere that kind of blocks you from seeing everything. And it's, you know, I could literally just go out in my backyard, lay on the grass, and just look up at the sky all night. I remember when I was a kid, I bought these little glow-in-the-dark stickers, and I plastered my entire ceiling
right.
with the stars and the moon. And you know, so I've always loved looking up, and now I can actually do it. I mean, it amazes me every time I look up.
Yeah, it's quite a feeling to look at all of that. Oh, yeah. Ray, thank you so much for your call. I'm just delighted you called in. Jerry in Glendale is next. Hi, Jerry.
And so
memorization and the tricks and tools of learning lines, for those of us that watch you, kind of mystifying. In our homiletics class at the seminary, we had to, at the end of the year, have memorized To Be or Not to Be from Shakespeare, the Seven Stages of Man from The Tempest, and a sonnet that was given to us. Everyone got a different sonnet, and I just barely got through. So what are the tricks? Is it just rehearsal and repetition, or are there some tricks to getting this skill?
James, you want to start?
I think anything is difficult to memorize for me if it's just by rote. So what we're constantly doing in rehearsal is trying to figure out why. Why so many words? Why all those words? So that we start excavating inside of those speeches to figure out how the next thought is different than the one before and how it's being compelled by the one that comes before.
Hmm.
And what is the long story that's being told? So there's an architecture that speech gets developed inside of. And still, then, there are times when a particular passage can be difficult to memorize. And then you start relying on tricks that other people, you know, mnemonic devices or, oh, this particular set of adjectives that are really hard to remember the order, they actually go in alphabetical order,
hmm.
you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But usually, just by uncovering the story of it, you get 80-90% of memorization down.
Oh, that's interesting. And what about once you learn it, Chike, now that you've played Othello, if you were to play Othello again next year somewhere, would you have to memorize it again? Do you forget it once you've spent that time learning it, or will it forever be with you?
It'll go.
It'll go, yeah.
I mean, it'll come easier the next time I do it. You know, it always comes a little bit easier than the first time. But, it usually stays with me for maybe, you know, a few months afterwards. And then I'll go to say something. I'm like, what was that line?
Right.
And it'll be gone because, you know, I'm on to the next.
Sure.
I'm on to the next show, and so I let it, you know, I just leave it by the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if I was to pick up the text again, it would come a lot easier because, you know, all the things that Jim just got done saying, I understand it a little bit better than I did coming to it fresh. So it's like, oh, right, I remember what I was trying to do here, and you know, I like to use the word infect. Who am I trying to infect at this moment?
Mm-hmm.
And what are they saying to me that's making me say what I need to say? So yeah, it comes easier, at least in my case, it would come easier.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jerry, for your call, Joshua in Spring Green. Hi, Joshua.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, gee, this is really interesting. I'm glad, Chike, you're liking Spring Green. I recently moved here myself and do find it beautiful. But I also really recently saw you in The Island, and I wanted to say thank you. That performance was amazing, and I'm still thinking about that performance. But one of the things I was wondering about is how do you go from switching between those two characters? I haven't seen Othello yet. That's coming up. I'm looking forward to it. But even as an audience member out of watching The Island, I felt, wow, bam, that really hits you. And I saw that you were also playing Othello, and I'm like, wow, that must be a lot of switching back and forth, and I'm just wondering how you accommodate that. And that goes out to James Ridge, too. I know you've done a lot of switching mm-hmm. back and forth between characters, but just wondering if they complement each other at all, or
okay.
How are you doing that?
All right, Chike?
It's never, so far I've been lucky, it's never been a problem, because both characters, or the characters that I play, whether it be Othello or Winston or Nim, they're all on their own journey, and they're all on their own life path. so there's never been a mixture of one. You know, I was thinking, oh yeah, you know, I play some guys that are really aggressive this year. You know, they're all kind of what's the word I'm looking for? They're all kind of men who kind of sit on the edge at the front of their chair, but they all do it in a different way, and so I haven't had to think where am I at this moment, or have any kind of problems with lines blurring between my character. Now, with that said, when I first found out all the character, or I knew about Othello, but when I first found out about the other ones and I read the plays, I was like, oh man, they do have a lot of similar things. But you get into rehearsal and you work with different directors and you're working with different people. It's so easy just to kind of have those. Not have any problems with blurring of lines.
Hmm. And James, how about you?
I consider it to be one of the joys of a repertory schedule. There's some time off in between shows rather than doing Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Saturday, Sunday, Sunday, all of the same show. And, the imagination is a wonderful... wonderful thing. So in that downtime, many times the imagination, the subconscious, will send up ideas or answers, sometimes to questions you didn't even know you had posed to it. So things can stay fresh and alive in a rep schedule in ways that they don't necessarily get a chance to when you're playing a regular performance schedule. And the flip side of that is, sometimes there's 13 days between when we've done a show last, and that can be really, really difficult. That's probably the hardest part of a rep schedule.
I'm sure.
End up sort of looking for your play like a lost friend at a 50-year reunion. I think I remember what it looks like.
I just went to one of those, actually. I got to do a show on that. It was something. What else are you doing? Are you doing other roles this summer? I'm sorry, I've just been concentrating on Othello, but are you directing too this summer and doing other acting?
So I play Mr. Page in Merry Wives.
Oh.
And I play Mr. Bennett in Pride and Prejudice.
Oh, that's a
substantial. So it's been fun. It's a fun season.
And what about directing? I know, is that a natural thing to go from acting to directing or vice versa, although you usually hear going from acting to directing? Do you enjoy that?
I do. For me, it's not something that I have to do. I feel fortunate that I don't feel driven to it in order to make a name or something for myself. For me, it's just been a natural outlet of, after having, especially having worked here at APT, I start thinking about plays from an above rather than from an internal view, and I'm interested in putting that into practice, talking to a group of people and trying to find a collaborative solution to how do we tell this story. So that's really interesting to me. And some of the language skills I've picked up over the last 18 years here, I'm interested in talking about those things and conveying those concepts to a younger generation who many of our youngsters who go to school to become actors are primarily, if not completely, interested in going to New York or LA and being on TV and film. So I like the idea of trying to light a fire under a chosen few who are interested in language,
right,
as it continues to sort of disappear as the way we knew it.
We're going to welcome a few more phone calls. We're speaking this hour with Jim Ridge and Chike Johnson, who are playing respectively Iago and Othello in the American Players Theater production of Othello. There are other plays in repertory. If you've never been to American Players Theater, I think that you've heard, if you've been listening, that you need to be there at some point, and there's plenty of time to go before this season ends because it goes into October. There are lots of plays in repertory. Othello is one of them, and it's a wonderful place. It's just a wonderful place, and you really should go. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, email talk at WPR.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Let's go to Desmond in Madison next. Hi, Desmond.
Hi.
Hi.
So I am an aspiring actor. I am currently studying acting, getting my Bachelor of Fine Arts at the University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point. And I had a question. Basically, I want to know what your rehearsal process is like and the sort of different techniques that you use when preparing for different shows.
GK?
It changes. My technique, I've never really thought about what my technique is, to be honest with you. As you know, being an actor, reading the play a few times and then, being open to not only coming to rehearsal with some choices made, but being open to change, being open to, my fellow actors, and I come from a sports background, so I came to acting a little bit later.
Really?
But in high school I played sports. It was my senior year in high school where I decided not to. I quit the football team. I quit the basketball team. And I decided, oh, well, let me try something different, which was a play. So I did that, and then I went into the military, and so when I come to a rehearsal process or my technique, my thing is it's a team sport. Even if you're doing a one man mm-hmm. show, it's always a team sport. And in order to succeed, you have to be open to what's going on to everybody in the rehearsal hall. So I guess if I do have a technique, it's just coming open and with choices, of course. But always open. Rehearsal is always different. You rehearse with, like when I said earlier, coming out to Spring Green, everybody's so nice and supportive and collaborative, and you just don't find that everywhere. I've been in rehearsal halls where it's tense because the actor is who I'm working with is not open, or the director is a taskmaster in the sense that this is how it's going to be done,
mm-hmm.
and you got to fight to get your thoughts and your ideas out there. So it's always different for me. I don't know if that answers this question.
I think
it does. I'll pass it on to Jim.
No, actually, we're going to take one more phone call. I like the answer. We just have it's a good way to end. We don't have much time, but you've got about 35 seconds. Eddie, go ahead. You're on.
It's Edie.
It's Edie.
Right.
Okay, Edie. Hi, Edie.
Hi. I just wanted to comment two things. One, that we have been going to, I've been dragging everyone under the sun for 36 years. I only missed 2 years since the open. My friend and I were at Waukesha when they were just beginning, and we brought flyers back to Waukesha to hand out to everyone so they knew about it. And I am also confused about Othello. I keep seeing it, can't figure out how he got to that level of his rank and his position with so little confidence in himself.
Well, you'll have to see it again, yeah. 36 years. Thank you both so much for being with us and for all the work that you do. And here's to Spring Green and American Players Theater. 36 years, it's just wonderful, isn't it?
Thank you, Kathleen. It's been a pleasure.
Been a pleasure to speak with both of you. Thanks, James. Thanks, Chike.
Take care.
Yeah, you too. James Ridge and Chike Johnson, they are in Othello, which is on stage at American Players Theater, one of quite a few plays that are in rep. So make the trip. Thanks to KP Whaley for producing Scotty Myers on-air production here in Milwaukee. Thanks for listening. And we'll be with you again tomorrow, same time.